It's time for this week's edition of the Virtual Bible Study. The Virtual Bible Study is a live, internet-only call-in program dedicated to the honest study and discussion of God's Word. Do you have a question about something in the Bible, or are you simply interested in learning more about the Scriptures? If so, we hope you'll stay tuned tonight as we look into the pages of God's Word. The Virtual Bible Study is brought to you this time each week by the College View Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee. You can participate in the discussion tonight by calling 931-381-4567 or by emailing your questions or comments from collegeview.com. We hope you'll take out your Bibles and study along with us as we begin an exciting study of God's Word on this edition of the Virtual Bible Study.
And welcome to the Virtual Bible Study. We're glad that you're here tonight. We're live. We're ready to go. This is the last Virtual Bible Study of 2005, and we're glad that you're with us. My name is Jacob Gwynn. I'm joined by my father, Greg Gwynn. Hello, Dad.
Hello, Jacob. Good to be with you tonight. Don't want to scare people. You said this is the last one. It's the last one for this year, but Lord willing, we want to continue this in 2006, Jacob. And so don't let anybody be alarmed to think that maybe we're going to discontinue the program. We're enjoying it. We hope everybody who listens enjoys it. We hope we're doing some good as we study together from the Word of God.
That's right. But this will be the last one for this year, and so we're glad that you're here tonight. And, Dad, we're looking forward to the discussion. We want you to comment as well. The number to call is 931-381-4567, or send us your questions or comments to questions@collegeview.com. Dad, last week we had an interesting discussion about the Christmas holiday, which was just a few days away, and so we thought it was timely to talk about that holiday. And tonight we have another, we believe, timely topic. Just a few days from now, a new year will begin, and so we want to talk about setting some goals for the new year in our spiritual lives.
That's exactly right. You know, just it doesn't seem like you could probably logically pick a topic for a study on a week like this leading up to the new year without talking about goals and priorities. A lot of times what people refer to as New Year's resolutions. You know, this is the time of year where a lot of people do some thinking about things in their life that they'd like to change. For instance, my guess is that I'm not the only one involved in the study tonight that's thinking about going on a diet. First of the year, you know, we think about things like make some changes, make some improvements, maybe start an exercise program or something like that, try to make our lives better, do things that are healthier. Maybe some people will think about finances and think about maybe starting a plan to save or invest or do better with their money and their finances, and all those kind of things are appropriate and beneficial and helpful. But Jacob, I'm of the opinion that there's not any area where we need to do more thinking and planning and resolving than in our spiritual lives.
Well, that's right. Our spiritual lives should be of the utmost concern and importance to us. That's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so, Dad, our spiritual life should be of utmost concern, but it appears often that it's too easy for us to delay and put these things off when it comes to spiritual matters. You know, a lot of times in physical things, we put things off as well. But especially in spiritual things, it's easy for people to delay, to put things off, but we've got to be urgent and we've got to get on the ball. We need to get after our spiritual lives and make sure that we set some goals to attain.
That's right. You know, and I was talking a minute ago about maybe doing some financial planning. You know, we might do some investing and planning because we think that, you know, at some point down the road when we reach retirement age, we want to have a little nest egg of money saved up. We want to be able to live at least somewhat comfortably in our retirement years and so forth. And so we do some planning about that, and we consciously think about getting ready for such a time as that. Well, there's a parallel that we think about retirement. We're not even certain we'll live to retirement age. We may not even face that. But there's a certainty that we will face judgment. And therefore, it makes sense to plan for that. And so there's not any area that's more important than making spiritual priorities, commitments, resolves, and so forth. In Matthew 6 and verse 33, Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Now, Jesus, in the context, had been talking about physical things, food and clothing and so forth. But he said, if you put God first and seek those things, make them your top priority, then other things will take their place. Everything else will fall in place, but make God first. And that's the thing we've all got to do.
A lot of times though, we put these things off, Dad, but everyone who's listening to us tonight, Dad, is 1 year closer to death than they were this time last year. That really should help us to understand that we need to get serious about setting goals for ourselves spiritually. We need to do that now so that we can grow to be what God would have us to be.
Yeah, and so during the program tonight, what we want to challenge our co-students with, that's what we're doing tonight. We're studying the Word of God, and you're studying with us if you're listening out there on the Internet. We'd like to have you send in by email or give us a phone call. Jacob will give you the contact info again here in just a minute. But send in your ideas as to what you think you need to do more of spiritually in the new year. And then as an addendum to that, tell us what your plan is, and then tell us how you think you might go about to achieve it.
Maybe you know of some things that you think should be on our minds as we begin the new year, some goals that we all should set for ourselves spiritually. Why not send those in to us and let us know what you're planning on doing in the coming year? 931-381-4567, or send those comments or questions to questions@collegeu.com. We'd love to hear from you on the program today. 931-381-4567 or questions@collegeu.com. This whole idea of spiritual goals, Dad, I believe is a very scriptural one. I believe Paul had spiritual goals in Philippians chapter 3, beginning verse 13. Paul wrote, "Brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Paul clearly had spiritual goals there, Dad, and he was working towards those goals that he had set.
He said he pressed toward the mark. In other words, he had a goal in mind, and he was consciously and purposefully striving to achieve that end. And so his determination, of course, the determination of the Apostle Paul is seen so clearly as we study his life and we think about all the things that he endured and the suffering and so forth, that the persecutions that came his way and so forth, he certainly had a resolve. He had a deep commitment, and he would serve as a worthy example for us as we think about making a commitment to serve the Lord faithfully in the new year. We've got an email already, Jacob, from Mike here in Columbia. Mike, glad you're listening tonight. He says, "I went to the website www.wisdomquotes.com. I hadn't seen that one. I'll have to remember that one, Mike. Thanks for giving us that link. He says, "I found the following quote by Leo Tolstoy." Tolstoy said, quote, "Everyone thinks of changing the world, but no one thinks of changing himself." That's an interesting quote and probably very accurate. Mike makes the observation, when we make New Year's resolutions, sometimes we fail because we don't really want to change our lives. I think that's right. You know, a lot of people are content with the way things are. But spiritually speaking, I think this is an important observation, that spiritually speaking, there is always room for improvement. There's not anybody who can say, I'm as good as I need to be. In any given area of your spiritual life, there's not any one of us who can say, I have attained unto the highest level there, and I can't go any higher. You notice even there, the Apostle Paul said in the quote that you just read, Jacob, from Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14, he says, I count not myself to have apprehended. Paul didn't think he was there yet. And certainly if Paul wasn't there yet, we're not there yet. We can do better.
And as Mike mentioned in his email here, the quote that he referenced sort of gives us an illustration of a problem that we have as humans. It's easier for us to see problems in those around us. It's easier for us to see those problems than it is those in our own lives. And so we need to understand that we need to make changes in our lives. We need to set spiritual goals for ourselves, and we want to know what your goals are for the coming year spiritually. Give us a call at 931-381-4567 or send us your goals to questions@collegeu.com. We're looking forward to hearing from you on the program tonight.
One of the things we want to remind our callers and listeners and emailers to do is if you want to get a comment in, don't wait toward the very last of the program. We'd love to hear your comments early on. Sometimes people have been sending us emails, Jacob, in the last few moments of the program, and then they don't get to us in time to get in the program. So if you've got some thoughts, and again, we really want your participation tonight, if you've got some thoughts, get them to us early.
All right, 931-381-4567 or questions@collegeu.com. Dad, I think one of the important areas for us to consider at the beginning as we talk about goals for ourselves spiritually in the coming year and as we wait on our listeners to give us their goals as things that they would like to work on spiritually, you know, one of those things I think on everyone's list should be that we want to study the Bible more.
That's right. I mean, that's God's guidance for our lives. He speaks to us through the Word. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, the King James Version says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now, the word "study" there doesn't necessarily mean study like a kid does homework. The word actually, in the New American Standard Version, translates it, "be diligent." to present yourself approved unto God, a workman that who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. So we give diligence so that we can handle the word of truth accurately. You got to apply yourself. You got to study to do that.
You know, I think a lot of people misapply that word when they look at the word study. They misapply that verse when they look at the word study. And they say, therefore, the Bible tells us we need to study. The Bible tells us we need to be diligent. But the verse does teach us that we need to study because it commands us to rightly divide the word of truth or handle or write the word of truth. The only way we can do that, Dad, is by studying the word of God so that we can understand what it is and how we should apply it. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning of verse 13, Paul makes the instruction to Timothy, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, for thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Paul's instruction to Timothy there was that Timothy needed to be studying and giving himself to meditation on God's word and on the doctrine of God. And we need to be careful about that as well, Dad. That needs to be our goal in this life as well. And notice it will help others. It will be an example to others. Others will notice if we are giving ourselves to the study of God's word.
Yeah, and you have to think about the fact there, Jacob, that Timothy at that point was a pretty extraordinary Christian. He was out doing preaching and evangelism, and he had been a co-worker and traveler with Paul, and he'd been intimately involved with a lot that was going on in the kingdom, and yet Paul still saw a need for him to give attendance to reading. I might mention here, Jacob, something that we have available here at College View for the last several years. We've had a Bible reading calendar that we publish it just before a new year begins, and we've done it again this year for 2006. We've got a calendar, and on it, it has a reading schedule that will take you through the Bible in a year. We've got several copies of that available, and if anybody who's listening would like to have a copy of that, if you'll send an email, just send us an email at questions@collegeview.com and say, you know, send me the Bible reading calendar, and give us your snail mail address so that we can send that to you, and we'll get it right out so you can start reading hopefully by the first of the year. Hopefully if you send us that email today, we'll get it out tomorrow, and you'll have it by the first of next week. We also have a Bible reading bookmark calendar. It's just a bookmark you can put in your Bible, and it's got Bible reading selections for every day. You can read through the Bible in a year. We can send you either one or both of those. If you send us an email, we'll try to get it in the mail to you tomorrow.
And those calendars are free of charge, Dad. No charge for that. Just send us an email. We'd love to send those to you. And the calendar you mentioned, the wall calendar you mentioned, Dad, is a large calendar. It'd be very visible, and it will remind you on a daily basis your need to study the Word of God. And so if you would be interested in that calendar, why not send us your address, and we'll get that in the mail to you. Send us your address to questions@collegeview.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, we take this idea of Bible study very seriously. I know that the elders here at College View have made that a priority for all of the members here and have encouraged us for the last several years to read the Bible, read it every day, try to read through the Bible every year. And, you know, it's pretty amazing. A lot of people, I'm sure several who are listening, have probably had this same experience. You read the Bible, and then you read it again, and when you read it again, you pick up some things that you didn't get the first time you read it. There's always new stuff to see and learn as you read through the Word of God.
You know, I think that we often don't study the Word of God like we should because we don't appreciate it for what it is. And the Word of God, the Word from our Creator, the one who has created us, His instruction for us in our lives. You know, Dad, we make time for things that we value and things that we deem to be important. We'll make time for television programs that we think are important that we'd like to see. We'll make time to read the newspaper because we think it's important that we keep up to date on current events. But we don't make time for studying God's Word, and I think it's just because we don't appreciate it for what it is.
I think that's exactly right. You know, if somebody sent you a love letter, you know, if you think back, if you're an older person as I am, you think back when you were courting your wife or your husband, and you think about receiving a letter from that loved one. Well, what did you do with it when you received it? Did you just throw it on the shelf and say, I'll get around to it later? No, you tear it open and you read it. You read it quickly the first time, and then you read it again and again, and you read it more slowly and more carefully, and you decipher the very nuance of meaning in every line of text because the one who sent it to you is very important. Well, that could not be more true than in regards to the Bible. It is a letter of God's love to us, describing the intents of His heart and His desires for us. If we understood it for what it is, we would really want to study it thoroughly. And so that's what we're saying is that's a great priority for the new year, a spiritual objective for us to attain to more study of the Word of God, increase our study in God's Word.
What are some spiritual goals that you have for the coming year? We'd love to hear from you on the program tonight. Why not send us those goals to questions@collegeu.com or give us a call on the phone at 931-381-4567. That's 931-381-4567. Time for a first break. When we get back, we want to take your goals for the coming year. What are the goals you have spiritually for 2006? Why not send us those goals to questions@collegeu.com or call us at 931-381-4567. Stay with us. We're back right after this.
Enjoying the virtual Bible study? Email a friend during this break and tell them to join in on the discussion. There's more exciting Bible study after this commercial.
Hello, my name's Preston Jackson. I'm from Valdosta, Georgia, and I want to hear your comments. So if you have one, call 931-381-4567 or email your questions at questions@collegeu.com.
Do you remember when you went to church and heard sermons that clearly set forth the New Testament plan of salvation? Can you recall when churches rang out with lessons that plainly exposed false teachers and false doctrines? Can you think back to a time when preachers and members of the church were set for the defense of the gospel? If you are craving to find a congregation that is like the church you can remember from years ago, like the church back in the first century, please visit the College View Church soon. They're trying hard to be a church just like the church you remember, like the one you read about in your Bible. Come and see. Visit the College View Church of Christ.
Hi, my name is Troy Smith. I'm 12 years old and I love to listen to the virtual Bible study.
We're waiting to hear from you. Call in right now and join in on the virtual Bible study. Now, back to the program.
And welcome back to the program. We're glad that you're here tonight on the virtual Bible study. We're talking about spiritual goals for the coming year, and we want to know what your goals are or what you believe should be everyone's goals spiritually. Give us a call at 931-381-4567 or send us those goals to questions@collegeview.com. Add one more time. Let's remind our listeners about the free calendar that we can send them in the mail if they'll provide us their addresses via email tonight.
That's right. We think it's a pretty neat Bible reading calendar. It give you a little specifics about it. It has readings for 5 days of the week. And what that does is that it gives you a couple days to catch up. If you get behind a day or two, there are scheduled readings 5 days a week instead of seven. So that gives you a little chance to catch up if you miss a day. Plus, the thing I really like about this calendar is it reads through the Bible not just in order of the books as you find them in the published Bible. But what this schedule does is it takes you through the Bible chronologically. And so as you're reading the history, the chronological history of the Bible, then, for instance, if there was a prophet who was prophesying at that specific time in history, you'll read his prophecies along with the history that is found there. So I really think it's a great Bible reading schedule. A fellow named Mark Roberts down in Texas put it together, and we've been using it the last several years, and the folks here at College View really have enjoyed using it, and we think you would too. If you will give us send us an email to questions@collegeview.com, and in the email say, I want the Bible reading calendar. But be sure to give us your snail mail address so that we can get it in the mail to you tomorrow.
There's no cost or obligation. In fact, Dad, we just want to get rid of these calendars. We've got a few left over, and we'd like to get them into the hands of someone that could use them. So get us through your email at questions@collegeu.com. What are your goals for 2006? What are some spiritual goals that you want to work on in the coming year? We want to hear your thoughts on the program tonight at 931-381-4567 or questions@collegeu.com.
Jay, we've got an email from Dan up in Greenwood, Indiana. Dan, glad to have you listening to the virtual Bible study tonight. Saw Dan earlier today, in fact. Glad you're listening, Dan. He says, one goal that we should all work on is to concentrate on family and try to lead them in the right direction. Don't give up. The old saying, if at first you don't succeed, try again. You know, I think that's a great goal for all of us is to work on family relationships, but as Dan mentions in his email, the most important thing about our family relationships is that we help them to be Christians and help them to spiritually grow and to be the kind of people God wants them to be.
You know, Dad, as we talk about having spiritual goals and growing spiritually in the year, certainly our family will observe that activity in our lives, Dad, and will understand that spiritual goals are important to us. And that will likely influence them as well to at least consider their own spiritual condition and their life before God.
You know, I think perhaps family more than anybody else, we teach by example with our family more than anybody else. I mean, our examples are always important. You can't teach others if you're not setting a right example. But there's nobody who knows our example better than our families. And so if we live this good example before them, then we'll be making some points. But we can also teach them. I mean, direct teaching and instruction from the Word of God is valuable too. So I think Dan's suggestion, try to work with our families, especially try to help them to come to know the truths of the Bible and obey them. You know, family, you know, a lot of times when we think about helping save lost people, we don't put our family in that category. But many of all of us, I suspect, have family members who are not Christians, who are not in a right relationship with God. So we might sort of broaden Dan's suggestion as a priority, try to reach the lost. Try to reach the lost in our family. Try to reach the lost in our neighborhood. Try to reach the lost of the people that I work with on the job. Try to reach the lost people wherever I can in whatever place that I'm in. Dan has suggested family. Try to lead them in the right way. And let's take that beyond family, too, to others. You know, Jesus said in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. Jesus saw that as his top mission, his most important priority, to seek and save the lost, and we should imitate him in that.
That's right, and he gave us the instruction, Dad, in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So a couple things to point out from this passage, Dad, Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. First of all, we have the direct command from God to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. No, but furthermore, just beyond the command, we see the dire consequences of failing to do that, Dad. If we do not go and we do not preach the gospel, people will not therefore believe, and if they do not believe, they'll be damned.
Exactly right. James chapter 5, verse 20 says, Let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. You know, the most important thing that you could do for a person, categorically, without dispute, the most important thing you could possibly do for a person is to teach them the gospel, help them learn the truth of God and obey it so they could save their soul from hell. That'd be a greater gift than anything that you could possibly conceive of giving them. And so we need to work on that.
And
we can do better, by the way.
And likely a lot of people do feel guilty, Dad, for not doing better. A lot of people feel like they should do more. They should teach the gospel more. There's someone that they know of, they've been meaning to talk to about the gospel of Christ, and they haven't done it. And we feel bad about that every year. Why not say, this is the year I'm going to do it?
Yeah, and be specific. You know, this is the year that I'm going to talk to, put in the name of your family member, your neighbor, your coworker, whoever it is that you know that this person needs to obey the truth of God. They need to become a Christian. Say, this is the year I want to say something to them about that.
And we, as we make these goals, Dad, it's important for us to remind ourselves that we're responsible for bringing the gospel to people. We're not responsible for how they will receive it. And so as we make these goals, we should not include it in these goals, the reception of the gospel by others, but just the fact that we're going to teach others the gospel.
Yeah, it'd be an unrealistic goal to say, I want to teach and convert 20 people this year. Because I don't have control over how they will receive the gospel, but I could say, I want to try to teach 20 people. I want to try to teach 10 people. I want to try to teach 2 people this year.
I want to speak to 20 people about the gospel.
Yeah. Now that's a doable goal. And those are the kind of goals that we need to have. We can, and so we're talking about spiritual objectives and goals, priorities, resolutions for 2006. And a good one, a real good one suggested by Dan's email is, let's try to reach the lost.
That's right. 931-381-4567 or questions at collegeu.com. We're looking forward to hearing your spiritual goals for 2006. Thank you for listening to the program, Dan, and thank you for your contribution. 931-381-4567 or questions at collegeu.com.
Got an email from Michael here in Columbia, Tennessee. Mike, glad you're listening out there. We had a previous Mike. This is a different Mike. Mike, we're glad you're listening tonight. He says, sometimes different goals we may set for ourselves may be counterproductive. For example, if I set a goal to get promoted at work, that may take away time from my family or even from worshiping God. However, whenever we make spiritual goals to increase our spirituality so that we can be better in our service to God, then we will improve every aspect of our life that is truly important. When my children are older, I want them to remember sitting and reading the Bible as a family every day. As our children get older every day, and as Jacob mentioned earlier, we are 1 year closer to death. One verse really comes to mind, and that's Ephesians 5, verse 16, which says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. I think you're right, Mike, exactly right on. I like the way Mike put it. You know, some goals could cross up other goals. Some of our temporal goals or physical goals might be counterproductive to our spiritual goals. But if we make our spiritual goals the high ones, then the other ones will take their place. And that's what Jesus promised in that verse we read earlier, Matthew 6, verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these other things will be provided, he promised. And so, you know, if I say my objective is that I'm going to be faithful in attending the worship services throughout the year, and I'm going to study and do these other things, then if I've got that goal in place, my goal on the job or in any other aspect of my life can't mess up my most important priorities.
That's right. 931-381-4567 or questions at collegeu.com. Thank you, Mike, for your email and really helping us understand what's important as we think about bringing up our children and our lives in spiritual service to God. We appreciate you bringing up those comments, Mike. And, Dad, one thing that Mike mentioned there is that maybe he wants his family to remember that they sat down together as a family and read the Bible together. I'm afraid, though, that a lot of children will only remember that they sat down with their families and watched television together. And these ideas of sitting down and studying the Bible together certainly would be a help and a strength to our family and would help our family to be more holy. And that would be an excellent goal for our families as well and ourselves spiritually as well in 2006, is that I want to be more holy in my life before God.
Exactly right. Turn off the TV and spend time with your family reading and studying the Bible. Hey, here's one, Jacob. Turn off the TV and get your family around the computer and listen to the virtual Bible study every Thursday night.
That's right. And then study the Bible every other night with your family.
That's right.
Throughout the week.
I got an email from Shannon in Midland, Texas. Shannon, glad you're listening. He says, I'm saying Shannon is a he. It may be a she. I'm not sure.
I believe Shannon is a he. I think I know Shannon.
Oh, do you know Shannon? Okay. Shannon says, I have a friend, Janet or Jeanette, here listening to the show, and we were wondering if we could have a calendar. One of our spiritual goals is to read through the Bible, and this is an answer to prayer. And he gives his address and said, this is our first time hearing the show. We can't wait. Glad you found us. Glad you're listening to the program, Shannon. We'll try our very best, Lord willing, to get those calendars out to you tomorrow.
Well, we're glad that some people are interested in the calendars. Again, if you're interested in a free Bible reading calendar, send that your regular address to questions at collegeu.com, and we'll get those out for you tonight or tomorrow so that you can have them for the first year.
Don't forget to put, you know, I've had people send me a request before and say, yeah, send that to me, and then not give me their snail mail address. I got to have a snail mail address for this, so be sure and put your snail mail address there. Got an email from Pat out in Grinnell, Iowa. Pat, glad you're listening tonight. He says, I think that all of our fellow Christians should have the goal of bringing more lost souls to God. I know that this is my main goal this year. But we must not forget that we will have to answer for ourselves and not others on that great and final day. So I think Pat's exactly right. And I think this goes to what you were saying a minute ago, Jacob, that our job is to spread the word. We're not responsible. It's out of our realm of control. We can't dictate how people will react to the gospel, but we can do our job of getting it to them. And this is an obligation we have, and it needs to be a top priority and a goal. And I really think that some specific goals in this area are helpful. You know, if you just sort of make the general commitment, yeah, I'm going to try to talk to more people, that's so vague that we usually don't carry through because it's not specific enough. Make a specific objective. Say, you know, here's this guy. I have coffee break with him every day. I have been having that coffee break with him for the last 10 years, and I've never said a thing to him about the Lord Jesus Christ. This year, I'm going to do it.
We feel bad about it every year. Why not say this is the year that I'm going to take care of that. I'm going to do what I know I need to do, and I'm going to talk to someone about the gospel. Well, thank you for that comment, Pat. We're glad that you're listening out in Iowa. Why don't you send us your comments or questions to questions@collegeu.com or give us a call at 931-381-4567, 931-381-4567. We're going to go to the bottom of the hour break. And when we get back, we want to take a call or an email from you at 931-381-4567 or questions@collegeu.com. Stay with us. We're back right after this.
Enjoying the virtual Bible study? Email a friend during this break and tell them to join in on the discussion. There's more exciting Bible study after this commercial.
Hello, everyone. I'm Wade Shelton, a member of the CollegeU Church of Christ. If you're like me, you've probably heard a lot of rumors about what the Church of Christ is all about. But regardless of what the rumors you may have heard, let me just quickly tell you what we are about. The College View Church of Christ is simply a group of Christians that is committed to doing everything that God has commanded us in exactly the way that He commanded us to do it. So we just simply open our Bibles and study them to determine what God has commanded us to do, and then we try to do it. It's just really that simple. Are you interested in being part of a group of people who have this approach to serving God? If so, I hope you will join me and my family as we worship God with the College View Church of Christ this Sunday at 9:30 a.m.
Hi, my name is Hunter. I'm 11 years old, and I love listening to the Virtual Bible Study.
Use your internet connection for something good. Listen to the Virtual Bible Study every week. Now, back to the program.
And welcome back to the program. We're glad that you're with us tonight. We've got about 30 minutes to go. We're going to go to the top of the hour talking about spiritual goals for 2006. We hope that you have been considering setting goals for yourself spiritually in the coming year. If so, we hope you'll share those goals with us on the program tonight. 931-381-4567 or questions at collegeview.com. We've got another email, Dad, with another spiritual goal for us all to consider in the coming year.
Good one, too. I think Steve up in Western Kentucky writes in, thanks for addressing our need to plan for greater growth and service. I find that I get so busy with duties and activities that prayer is given a much lower priority than it should. Any of our attempts towards spiritual growth should start with an understanding that we cannot accomplish real growth without God's help. His promises give us assurance of aid in reaching worthy goals, but Christ emphasized that we must ask, seek, knock. James wrote that God will grant wisdom to those who ask in faith. I want to set aside more time to pray privately and with my family in the coming year. And he says, I wish you the best and your listeners in 2006. Thanks for that email, Steve. I think a great idea. And actually, it's something that I had overlooked. I wrote out a little list of things that I wanted to talk about, things that I want to have as goals in 2006. And I'm almost ashamed to admit that I did not put prayer on there. And I think you're exactly right. We get so busy doing other things that we neglect prayer. What an important thing in our spiritual lives. And it's definitely an area where I can grow and do better. And I imagine most listeners would agree.
Thank you for that comment, Steve. We have the simple instruction in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, to pray without ceasing. That's our instruction, Dad. And we need to make it a goal in the coming year to be more diligent in fulfilling that command from God to pray without ceasing. And we also see in James chapter 5 that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much in James chapter 5, verse 16. And so, Dad, we must understand the extreme value and importance in being very regular and diligent in our prayer.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. So that's a great one to add to the list. We've talked about Bible study. We've talked about reaching the lost. We've talked about prayer. Certainly all great objectives. Let me suggest another area. Maybe we get some input from some of our listeners, Jacob. And that has to do with personal holiness and purity of life. You know, we need to work on that. Because as Christians, we're living in an increasingly corrupt world. Society is getting more and more wicked. And I'm concerned that we're allowing that corrupt society to influence us to the point that we tolerate or have grown callous to the kinds of wickedness that would have shocked people just, you know, 20, 30 years ago. It's all around us. We're bombarded by it. And I think as Christians, we're allowing it to affect our lives. And so I think some objectives about maintaining strict, pure, moral holiness would be a good objective.
That's right. We need to have holiness in our lives, Dad. That's what God expects from us. He wants us to be holy. He says, be ye holy as I am holy. We're to imitate God in His holiness. And so what are some ways then that we can be holy in our lives?
Well, I know one of the things that, and I've been talking more and more about this in lessons and studies here at College U, but one of the things I think that has to be an important part of that maintaining moral purity is that we've got to control our thoughts. You know, in Proverbs 23, verse 7, it says, for a man, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so if you think about corrupt things, if you allow corrupt thoughts and images to be planted in your mind, then those things are sure to eventually be manifested in your actions. As you think, so are you. Thoughts precede actions. And that's just absolutely true. And that being the case, we've got to control our thoughts. And in the modern world, there's some specific areas where we need to pay attention to that. You know, we've got a lot of dangers coming at us via the modern media. TV, the movies, the radio, and the music that's publicized and published. And now a brand new threat to our spirituality is the Internet and the corruption and the wickedness that's out there on the Internet that can be seen so easily. We've got to control our thoughts, and so we need to make some specific goals for 2006. Maybe some goals like saying, I'm going to limit the amount of time that me and my family are watching TV, you know, and say, you know, that on this given night of the week, we're not even going to have the TV on, or we're never going to watch more than an hour or two of TV on any night of the week, or, you know, just make some hard and fast rules about how you're going to use the TV, how the Internet's going to be employed in your house, and so forth.
That's right. It is our goal, Dad, to be holy, and we must control our thoughts, you know, but when we think about the evil that we're surrounded by, those evil things that we see and those evil influences that are around us in the world, if we think on those things, that will cause us to behave in ways that are unholy. We've got to be on guard about the way that we think, and we must be controlling our thoughts. That needs to be a goal for the coming year.
I think so. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Notice this phrase, Jacob, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's our job. We've got to do it. If we're going to be successful as Christians, we have got to do that.
That's what God wants from us. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15, in the New King James Version, we read, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. We are told that we need to be holy. God wants us to be holy, and that needs to be our goal for the coming year. Dad, we've got to control our thoughts, and we need to get sin out of our lives, Dad. And I'm afraid too often there are little pet sins that we have in our lives. We know we need to get them out of our lives, but we allow them to remain in our lives, and we go along in this life with those sins in our hearts and in our minds and in our lives, and we need to get those sins out of our lives.
Exactly right, and we have the promise that the Lord will help us to achieve those things. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. You know, sometimes people think that, well, it's inevitable. I just can't help myself. I'm going to do these things, and I can't get past it. Yes, you can. God promises that you can get past those things.
Well, one of those things may be smoking, Dad. You know, in the beginning of the year, a lot of people make a resolution to quit smoking, but oftentimes people fail, and they give up on that, think it's just impossible for them to quit. God tells us that he can help us quit smoking. He can help us overcome any sin in our life that we want to overcome. God will make a way for us to escape. And if we are dealing with a sin that we're having trouble with, we're struggling with, we have confidence in God's promise that he will help us to overcome it.
Exactly right. Got an email, Jacob, from Donna in Reasoner, Iowa. Donna, glad you're listening to the virtual Bible study tonight. We appreciate it. We've got a group of folks listening out there in Iowa. We appreciate you all for being there. She says, as a teacher of young children's Bible classes, I want to help them recognize opportunities to teach others. And that's one of the things we've been talking about on the program tonight, Jacob, is teach others. Teach young children the need to reach out and teach others as well. That's good, Donna. She says she wants to spend more time with brothers and sisters in Christ. We might expand upon that in a minute, Jacob.
That's a good one.
And then she says, personally, I want to improve my love for the Lord through prayer, study, and sharing the gospel. Great thoughts, Donna. We appreciate them.
Appreciate those goals, Donna, and we're glad that you have shared those with us tonight on the program, and we're glad you're listening out in Iowa. The phone number to comment on the program tonight is 931-381-4567. Or send us your questions or comments to questions@collegeu.com. We want to hear from you on the program tonight, and we want to know what your spiritual goals for 2006 are on the program tonight.
Donna mentioned that she wanted to spend more time with her brothers and sisters in Christ, and I think that's something that's a worthy goal, Jacob. You know, in a previous email, Steve had mentioned that we just get so busy with activities that we let some things slide, and I think one of the things that is we've allowed to slide among brethren is just sharing hospitality with one another. You know, God has designed the local church as a resource of strength for us, and we need to develop close relationships with our brethren so that we can draw strength from them and they can draw strength from us. In Romans chapter 12, beginning verse 10, Paul wrote, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. He says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. So hospitality is a thing that we need as Christians. I need to show it to others, and I need to be able to benefit from the hospitality of others as well. So Donna's suggestion that we spend more time with our brothers and sisters in Christ, I think, is a really good one. And in this area of sharing hospitality, that's a place we can do better. We can increase in that.
Well, that idea there, that word given to hospitality, means that it's going to be a very important part of our life, Dad. It's not just something we're casual about.
Yeah.
It's going to be something that defines our lives, that we are hospitable to our brethren.
Yeah, and in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9, Peter says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. You know, some people say, okay, I'm going to do it. I don't want to do it. I dread it. I'd rather not have to do it, but I want to do it because I have to.
How long are they going to stay if I have them over?
Right? Yeah, that's not the attitude here. And so we need to have a hospitable attitude and do it without grudging, Peter said.
And that needs to be a goal, Dad. It's not going to happen easy for us necessarily. It may be something that we have to work on. But it needs to be something that we set as a goal in the coming year to make sure that we're hospitable, that we increase in our love for the brethren, as Donna has recommended out in Iowa. We appreciate her listening to the program tonight.
All right. Again, don't wait till the last minute to send just your email or give us a phone call. If you've got an idea, and we hope that more of you will send us some ideas, some things that you want to do in 06, some things that will help you become a stronger, more faithful, more dedicated servant of God. Those are the kind of things we want to hear, because we think it's really important to do some planning. You need to be planning your spiritual life. You need to be setting your goals and priorities. So tell us what yours are and how you're going to get there. What are you going to do to achieve them?
Right. 931-381-4567 is the number to call. We'd love to hear from you on the phones tonight, or if you prefer, we'd love to hear from you on email as well. Send us your questions, your comments, your goals for 2006 to questions@collegeview.com. Dad, one thing I think we need to work on in our spiritual lives is being more thankful to God for the enormous amount of blessings that we enjoy. As we go out throughout our lives on a daily basis, it's easy for us to become complacent and to overlook the extreme blessings that we enjoy from God. We should make it a goal in the coming year that we're going to stop and we're going to pause and consider all the blessings that God has given us and be thankful to Him for the blessings we enjoy.
That's exactly right. And this would tie in pretty closely to the suggestion that we had earlier about devoting ourselves more in prayer. Obviously, in prayer is where we express our gratitude to God for the blessings that He's given to us. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And so God wants us to be thankful people. You know, you stop to think about that. Why should we have to tell God thank you? He knows our heart. He knows what we're thinking and so forth. Why would we have to express our thanks to Him?
Because that's the will of God.
That's
in Christ Jesus concerning you.
And He knows it's to our advantage to stop, count our blessings, to remember all the good things that are done for us. And so He's asked us to be thankful, not because He needs to hear us say thank you, but because He knows we need the exercise of expressing our thanks, being grateful.
You know, Dad, an added benefit to being thankful for the things that we enjoy, it will cause us to be content. If we understand how much we have been blessed, it'll be easier for us to be content with what we enjoy, and it will help us to not want more and more when we stop and consider how much we have already. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, Paul says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. Paul understood that he could be content. He had learned how to do that, and we need to learn that skill as well. We need to be content. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, the New American Standard Version says, let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have, for He Himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. The instruction there is, Dad, we've got to be content with the things we enjoy.
And, you know, it's pretty amazing. We live in the richest country, in the richest time in history. We're the most prosperous people who've ever lived on planet Earth, and yet we're probably the most discontented. That's just a shame. We need to be content with things we have. We need to be careful about materialism and covetousness. We've mentioned those themes on the virtual Bible study in the past, but that needs to be reminded.
That's right. Well, we're looking forward to hearing from you. We've got about 15 minutes left to go in the program. Plenty of time to take your suggestions on things that we should set as goals in our lives to be pleasing to God, spiritual goals for 2006. What are some goals that you plan on setting for yourself in the coming year? What are some goals that you think everyone should set for themselves in the coming year? We want to hear from you on the program tonight. 931-381-4567 or questions@collegeview.com. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this.
You won't want to miss what we talk about next. The discussion continues right after these important messages.
Hello, everyone. I'm Brent Haynes. I'm a member of the College View Church of Christ. A lot of people in the religious world today tell us that as long as our heart is right and we truly love God, we can do whatever we want in our service to Him. They say that what we do doesn't matter because God is only interested in our heart. I believe they have it all wrong. True, God is interested in our hearts, but He's also interested in our actions. One reason why is because our actions describe the true condition of our heart. This is what Jesus taught in Matthew 12, verse 34, when He said, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." So I believe that if we are doing whatever we want to in our service and are not serving God exactly like He has asked, then our heart is not right before God. The members of the College View Church of Christ are committed to making sure that both our hearts and our actions are pleasing to God. If you're interested in doing the same, we encourage you to join us for worship this Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m.
Hello, my name's Jeffrey Vernon. I'm 13, and this is the Virtual Bible Study.
Hello, everyone. I'm Monty, a member of the College View Church of Christ. So you've been hearing all about the College View Church of Christ on the Virtual Bible Study and are interested in finding out more about the church. But you live hundreds of miles away from Columbia, Tennessee, and can't come and visit with the congregation to find out more. There's no reason to fear. After all, we live in the 21st century. Here's what you can do to find out more about the College View Church of Christ. First, why don't you check out our website while you're listening to the Virtual Bible Study? You'll find important information about the church there, including bulletin articles there on various subjects, and can even listen to sermons that have been presented at the College View Church in the past. Secondly, if you have questions about the church or about any Bible teaching, why don't you send an email to us and let us know how we can help? Send your questions to questions@collegeview.com. That address, once again, is questions@collegeview.com. We can even have a personal Bible study with you over email if you desire. And finally, if you would rather talk with someone in person, give us a call at 931-381-4567. That's 931-381-4567. You can call this number anytime. If you don't get an answer, leave a message and we'll call you back as soon as we can. We're glad you're listening to the Virtual Bible Study and hope to hear from you soon.
Hi, my name is Mike Holt. My wife and I, we love listening to the Virtual Bible Study.
A streaming Bible study. Why didn't I think of that? Now back to the guys.
And welcome back to the program. We're glad you're here. Dad, before we go any farther, we talked about being thankful. I want to express my gratitude to one of our listeners up in Nashville, a friend of mine, Phil Hunt. He's written a piece of software for us on the program, Dad. I told him about our dilemma with our commercials and randomizing them and getting them played in the right order. He's written an incredible program for us, and we're using it tonight for the first time, and we're just loving it.
Phil's a whiz on a computer. He's helped us many times, and we appreciate Phil for doing all that good work.
Thank you, Phil, and our listeners appreciate it.
And I see that Phil's listening tonight. We're glad to have you out there, Phil.
That's right. 931-381-4567 or questions at collegeview.com are the ways you can participate in the program tonight. We want to hear your goals for 2006. Hopefully you have set goals for yourself in your personal life, especially in the area of spiritual growth. What are those goals that you want to focus on in the coming year? Why not share those with us so that we can benefit from what you're going to make a priority in your spiritual life in the coming year? 931-381-4567 or questions at collegeview.com.
Mike Smith here in Columbia, Tennessee writes, in 2006, I hope that I'll be more concerned about other people and their needs and to help them. I want my family to be more hospitable toward other Christians, invite them into our home. I want my family to read the Bible every day together and then apply it to our lives. Those are good points, kind of summarizing some of the things we've mentioned tonight, Jacob.
And I see another goal there behind the scenes, reading between the lines. I see that Mike wants to be the type of father that God wants him to be, and that could be a goal for all fathers, Dad, to be the type of spiritual leader that God has instructed them to be.
I might take one of the lines there from Mike's message, and we had mentioned it just briefly earlier, about hospitable toward other Christians. He says invite them into our home. We might make as a goal, Jacob, just to develop a greater love for our brethren in Christ. We live in an age of self, when most people are looking out for themselves and what's in it for me is the attitude that a lot of people have, and that is a anti-biblical attitude. The Bible tells us instead not to think too highly of ourselves. Romans 12, verse 3 says, I say through the grace given to me to every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. You know, this self-centered generation is really going against the will of God, and in doing it, they heap upon themselves a lot of heartache and disappointment, discouragement, depression, and so forth. We need to stop thinking about self so much and think about others.
The instruction in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 is let each esteem others better than themselves, Dad, and that needs to be the attitude that we adopt as we deal with our brethren.
And when we do that, Jacob, one of the manifestations of that will be that, even as Mike's email suggests, that is that we'll have more of a servant's heart. You know, in John chapter 13, Jesus took the time, even near the very end of his life, just as he was about to be arrested and tried and crucified, he took the time to wash his disciples' feet. And he, having done that, he said in John 13, beginning verse 13, "Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet, for I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them." Now, some people in the religious world have made the mistake of thinking that Jesus was instituting a religious ritual there, that we ought to ritualistically wash one another's feet, and some religious organizations do that. That's not the point. Jesus was showing a servant's heart, that he would serve. Here he was, their Lord and Master, and yet he was willing to serve them. And he said, "I want you to learn by my example and be a servant to others." And notice this, if you know these things, happy are you, or blessed are you, if you do them. And so we'll be better off if we stop concentrating on self and learn to serve others.
True happiness does not come from being selfish, Dad. True happiness, as Jesus has said, comes from serving others, and we can try to find that happiness if we will adopt the attitude that Christ had, Dad. Christ had the attitude that he wasn't going to be served by others, he was going to serve others, and that's the attitude and perspective we need to have in our lives as well. 931-381-4567 or questions at collegeview.com are the ways you can participate in the program tonight. We want to hear from you. Hurry up and give us your comments on the program tonight. Dad, you know, I think that we will have a love for our brethren if we truly appreciate them, Dad, and the blessing that we have by having brethren that we can gain strength from by seeing others who are trying to live the same life that we're trying to live.
That's right. And we really have a great benefit in the place. Most of the places where we live, you know, there are larger and smaller congregations, but most places where we live in this country, we have the advantage of being able to find a group of people that we can meet with, associate with, learn to love and appreciate. There are some places in the world where Christians just struggle along almost independently without the help of at least a strong congregation to help them. We ought to be grateful for that and take advantage of it. Got an email, Jacob, from Ben in Andalusia, Alabama. Ben, we're glad that you're listening to the broadcast tonight. He says he has a favorite passage along the lines of being holy, and it's from Philippians 4, verse 8. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." I think Ben offers a great verse there that could almost serve as a theme for the new year. Think on and meditate upon things that are proper. We mentioned earlier the great importance of controlling our thoughts. If we're going to be holy people, we're going to have to control our thoughts. Thoughts precede actions. As you think in your heart, so you are. And so we've got to control our thoughts. So appreciate Ben's input on that, along that line.
Thank you for listening down in Alabama, Ben, and for your comment on the program tonight. Still time to take comments from you at 931-381-4567 or questions at collegeview.com. We're looking forward to hearing your spiritual goals for 2006 on the program tonight. What are your plans and what do you want to do in the coming year so that you can be more pleasing to God than you were in 2005?
I got a follow-up email from Donna in Iowa, and she says, "I think of the 10 lepers when it comes to giving thanks. How do we feel when we do for others and never receive any thanks?" You know, that parable of the lepers is the great one teaching the need for gratitude.
It was a hideous characteristic of those 9 lepers that didn't come back, Dad. But when we think about all that God has done for us, he's done much more than he did for those lepers that he healed. He has healed us spiritually, and therefore we need to be thankful and be grateful for all the blessings we enjoy.
We've got a follow-up from Ben down in Alabama. He says he's got a couple of ideas to help in having a better 2006. First, he says, after putting our hands to the plow, don't look back. Follow through with whatever it is we have determined to do. You know, we've been talking about goals. It's easy enough to set the goals. Follow through is the challenge. So I think Ben's right there. And then secondly, he says, count the cost before beginning a given task. Make sure we have we have thought it through and have dedicated the necessary time and energy to complete it. That's a good one as well. The kind of goals that we're talking about do require a commitment of time and energy. And so don't just, you know, make a goal without considering, you know, I'm going to have to invest the time and the energy and so forth to follow through on this. I think that's, those are great suggestions. Ben, thanks a lot.
931-381-4567 or questions@collegeu.com. Quickly, before we end the program tonight, we'd love to hear from you on the program. Dad, quickly, let's go through some other things that we had on our list while we wait on some of our listeners' ideas. We also had on the list that we should set a goal for ourselves spiritually, Dad, to be more generous. God wants us to be generous people. He wants us to give without grudging. We need to set that for a goal in our lives spiritually, Dad, in the coming year, that we want to be more generous people before God.
That's right. And that generosity could be manifested in several directions. One would be, you know, generosity in giving to the Lord and His kingdom, His work here upon the earth. I think almost all Christians could spend a good bit of time thinking about their giving and make sure they're giving an amount that's appropriate to all the blessings they've received from God. Now's a good time to rethink what's your giving been like to the Lord, and can you and should you be doing better? Can you commit yourself to more in the new year?
Well, not only giving to the Lord, Dad, we also should be more generous in giving to others who have need. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10 says, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And so the instruction to us is to give where we have the opportunity. We need to make sure that we're taking advantage of the opportunities we have to be generous.
You know, in all of the things that we've been talking about, Jacob, we need to have a sense of urgency about the work. And Jesus said in John 9, verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. We need to get busy doing these things. We need to have a sense of urgency about all the things we've been talking about tonight.
And too often, though, I'm afraid, Dad, that we're lackadaisical when it comes to our service to God. We must be urgent about the work. Jesus knew that there was no time to delay. He knew he must work the works of him that sent him. In James chapter 4, verse 14, we read, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Dad, we may not make it to 2006. We need to be diligent in serving God and taking use of the time that we have now at our disposal. And along with those, Dad, we also need to make sure that we have an increased focus on the goal of heaven. That'd be an excellent goal for the coming year, is to focus more on our goal of heaven and why we're doing these things in service to God.
Yeah, Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, he said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Paul suffered real, intense physical persecution, he said, but even that, it's not, you can't compare those things to what we're going to get in the end if we're faithful to the Lord. So when we think about this goal setting and making some real determined effort to do better in the new year, it'll be worth it. That's what Paul's saying. It's all worth it.
And along those lines, Dad, as we make these efforts and we strive to be more like God would have us to be, the devil's going to be fighting us at every turn. He's going to be trying to stand in our way of being what God wants us to be. But we've got to make sure that we have an increased trust in God's promise. We need to make sure that we're trusting in God's promises and His promises to reward us if we're faithful. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, we read, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. We need to have faith and trust in God's promises, that God will be true to His promises and He will reward us if we're faithful and we're diligent in our service to Him. Well, Dad, quickly to review what we've talked about on the program tonight, some of the goals that we've listed, and our listeners may have other goals that they'd like to add to this list, but some goals that we have mentioned and some that our listeners have mentioned is that we want to have an increased study of God's Word and an increased appreciation for God's Word in our life. Mike in Columbia suggested that he wants to spend time studying with his family next year, and that's a great goal. Another goal we need to have is to be more holy in our lives, to have increased holiness in our lives, control our thoughts, control our actions, and to get sin out of our lives. We need to have more appreciation for God's blessings and all the ways that He has blessed us. We need to have an increased love for the lost. Donna out in Iowa suggested that she wanted to help children understand the need to teach the lost. An excellent idea from Donna in Iowa. We need to have an increased love for our brethren, Dad, as we have mentioned. We need to be more generous people. We need to be more hospitable to others, and we need to have an increased urgency about doing God's work while we have an increased focus on the goal of heaven and an increased trust in God's promise. Some others that our listeners have mentioned as well Steve in Kentucky suggested that we need to be more prayerful people. We need to spend more time in prayer. Dan in Indiana suggested that we need to focus on reaching our lost family members, and that's another excellent suggestion from Dan. So, Dad, a lot of goals there, a lot of good things to think about for 2006.
I think so, Jacob, and as we said, this time of year just lends itself to sort of reevaluating, looking to see where we are. You know, as we said earlier, people will be starting diets, starting financial plans, starting new things, exercise programs, and so forth. But there's not any area of our life that would be more important to stop, to think, to make resolutions, and to work harder. The most important things of all are the spiritual things of God. I've got one email real quick, Jacob. I know we're out of time, but I got a follow-up email from Mike J. here in Columbia, and he said it might be a bit of a stretch, but he said he references Daniel 1 verse 8. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. He said that might be a biblical example of setting resolutions. I think he's probably right. And then I don't have time to read everything that he said. He's personally committing himself to be present at all the services, including gospel meetings. He said many times these meetings are planned way in advance, so I can plan and plenty of time to make my schedule free to attend them. He says be there in recognizing opportunities to teach the lost. And then he says also to have people in his home that I've never had over before. Hospitality, as I understand it, is kindness to strangers as well as our own friends. I think you're exactly right, Mike.
Mike, thank you for those comments, and thank you for listening. Dad, appreciate the discussion tonight with our listeners and the great comments that we got over email. You know, we've got a lot of things to work on in 2006. We're going to be busy in the coming year.
Yeah, and that's a good thing to be, busy in serving the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, Paul said, "Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." We're supposed to be abounding in the work of the Lord, so we need to be busy. That's a good thing.
Thank you for listening to the program tonight. May God bless you as you strive to be faithful to Him in the coming year. And we look forward to talking with you next week on the program. We hope you'll be back. And until then, we encourage you to put God first in your life, study His inspired Word, the Bible, and live by it every day. You'll never regret it.
Thanks for listening to the Virtual Bible Study, brought to you by the College View Church of Christ. The College View Church of Christ meets at 1618 Hampshire Pike in Columbia, Tennessee. If you are in the Columbia, Tennessee area, we encourage you to worship with the College View Church of Christ on Sunday mornings at 9:30 and on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. The College View Church of Christ also welcomes you to attend their Wednesday night Bible studies at 7 o'clock. If you have any questions about something that was said on tonight's broadcast or would like more information about the College View Church of Christ, please call 931-381-4567. That number again, 931-381-4567. Or for more information on the internet, visit collegeview.com. Be sure to tune into the Virtual Bible Study this time next Thursday for another informative study of God's Word.